my first ever kindergarten roundup. This little girl shows up and they told me that I had to do this reading assessment with her that's called chunking and blending. So I did it with her and I was like, okay, what is this word? Ooh-it-tall. Ooh-it-tall. And she looked at me and she goes, is it titties?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Right, I was like, you're high energy. Stay put. See what happens. So I happened to have the glass of shark, which, because I'm a cheap bitch. And I was like, do it. And I was fucking loving it.
Nice.
They were loving it. And I was just like, this is some shit.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the JoJo Siwa of the group, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you in the podcast universe. Chrissy going through her hypersexualized awkward phase right here on the camera.
What?
Shake it like an epileptic.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, JoJo Siwa. Our favorite, our new friend, JoJo Siwa.
Yeah.
New friend of the show.
Yes, let her live.
Poor girl. Poor girl. Just getting it left, right, and sideways. That girl cannot catch a break. And, yeah, whatever. Who cares? So, I wanted to share that today's TCB infomercial, I'm very excited about. I'm very excited to talk to Joe Dombrowski.
Me too.
I've been a big fan of his since his viral video about teaching came out, and he sustained popularity. We'll talk to him about this, but like a lot of people today, they get a little pop of notoriety because of whatever they do on social media or YouTube or whatever. Like Andy Warhol said, everybody gets their 15 minutes. But can some people make it to 16, 17, 18, 20 minutes? Like Hannah Berner has done it. Joe Dombrowski has done it. Mo Gilligan did it. Like there are people who can extend, who really have talent. They have something to push them behind. Like us. We have no talent behind us. So we're going to, it's better to sparkle and, what is it? It's better to, I don't know, blow up and shine than to sparkle and fade or something like that.
Blow up and shine.
It's better to light fuse and get away than to sparkle and fade. I don't know. Who knows?
Yes.
Anyway, Joe is one of those people. He's a very talented comedian. He's on a tour right now. He's got a bigger tour coming along in the fall where he'll be everywhere. I just looked through his website. He's going to be in a lot of different places. TheJoeDombrowski.com. You can follow him on his socials. I will put all of the links in the show notes. We're super excited to have this conversation. Actually, we've been planning this one for a while, and I'm very happy to finally connect with him.
Talk to him.
After a couple fits and starts. My fault. This is the first time I've had to cancel a guest, and I canceled them because of my tooth.
Yeah.
And, and I don't need to tell him that, but I don't need to tell you that. Why am I telling anybody that? Anyway, he's here today. We'll see him.
And we're excited.
But before we get to that, I wanted to share that I just read Lenny Kravitz. Lenny, you know who Lenny Kravitz is?
I do.
You remember Lenny Kravitz?
I've heard of him.
Okay. He's a mildly popular musician who's been around for a long time. And I am just reading that Lenny Kravitz has opened up about a new spiritual journey that he's gone on for the last about decade. And in that spiritual journey, and I think this is fucking criminal, and I'm going to talk to Lenny about this when he comes on the show. I think it's fucking criminal. For almost a decade, he has been celibate. He has not been having sex for 9+ years.
Really?
Let me read the story. Byline, TMZ, where you get all the good information. Lenny Kravitz might be a well-known sex symbol, but that's kind of fading in the light of the news, namely him being celibate for a whopping 9 years while on a spiritual journey. The music icon says he's ditched casual flings for nearly a decade until he finds the right woman. A move inspired by his dad, NBC producer Cy Kravitz. NBC News producer Cy Kravitz. I didn't know that was his dad. Cheating on his mom, Roxy Roker, a well-known actress famous for her starring role in The Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
Reflecting on the infidelity, Lenny told The Guardian that his dad predicted he'd end up living the same lifestyle, and it turned out to be true. After his marriage to Lisa Bonet, unbelievable that you would ever leave Lisa Bonet. Fell apart in 1991. Lenny acknowledged he began acting like a player. Lenny says he wasn't fond of that lifestyle, and it took him years to take responsibility and shed the label, making sure his own desires did not take over. And all this discipline has incredibly led him to a 9-year streak of celibacy, saying it's a spiritual thing. I become very set in my ways and in the way that I live. It goes without saying he hasn't been in a serious relationship for those 9+ years. So basically, no sex. After the notorious heartthrob's marriage to Bonet ended, he charmed his way through Hollywood, going on dates with Vanessa Paradis. He was even engaged to Bombshells and Adriana Lima and Nicole Kidman before things fizzled out. At 60 years old, it looks like Lenny's mission is to find the one, but it's still ongoing. Seems like he's loving the celibate life too much to rush into anything at this point, even a casual bang. However, nothing like a good TMZ report to put in casual bang. However, if he's looking for a serious contender, Gail King from The Morning. Oh, please stop with this bullshit. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz ain't going to ever marry Gail King. Gail King, I think, is in her 70s. I know she like hit on him at some event that they were at, like publicly. She was interviewing him and whatever. Anyway,
who hasn't hit on Lenny Kravitz? Men love him.
Women want to be. Women love him. Men want to be him. Yeah, he's the real player in the group. I mean, Lenny Kravitz, even at 60 years old, yes, he looks older than he did. Because he's older than he was. But yes, he looks older than he did, but he is legitimately a very handsome man.
Oh, yes, he is.
Very handsome man. He's got an incredibly unique look, an incredibly unique style, and his body is always fucking rock hard.
I know.
I am not even close to Lenny Kravitz's age, and my body is like a Q-tip. His is like one of those ginsong knives that, you know, can cut through steel and... I mean, I feel like I would hurt myself just knocking into Lenny. Like, he would cut me, or I would just fall right over.
He's
like,
solid.
He is a solid rock of a human being. And while I can appreciate that everyone is on their own journey, and I went on a spiritual journey too, and I did stay celibate for about 9 months. That's about as long as I could take it. 9 years. 9 years. That is a long time to be Lenny Kravitz and celibate. I'm not saying it's a long time for most people to be celibate. I'm saying it's a long time for Lenny to be celibate.
True.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not here to like cast dispersions or tell anybody what to do, but Lenny, you're 60. You maybe got another 15 good years of fucking left. You know what I'm saying? Good, solid, organic fucking without a lot of medications or having to break a hip or something like that. Let's go. What are we doing? Come on, buddy. Get back on the horse.
I know. It's hard to believe, too. He hasn't at least found someone special.
It seems like he
would just have access to everybody.
Yeah,
to anybody.
Of course, anybody. Which, even if you were married, even if you had a boyfriend, it doesn't matter. It seems like anybody would leave anybody for Lenny Kravitz.
I know.
Like, if Lenny Kravitz came within 5 feet of my wife, I just know it was over. Yeah. I just know it was over. It's over.
It's been great, Astrid.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you for everything.
But you know what I'd say? Well, at least it's Lenny fucking Kravitz.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not embarrassed if I go, well, my wife left me, took the children. She's living with Lenny Kravitz in fucking Oahu or wherever. Aruba. I would feel like a stud. I'd feel like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, she left me for Lenny Kravitz. Who'd your wife leave you for? Bob and accounts payable? Fuck you. Honestly.
Yeah, it would be understandable.
Yeah. Listen, I would have sex with Lenny to break the celibacy streak. That's all I got to say. That's it. All right. So Joe Dombrowski, I just had to mention that. I don't know why. It surprised me. It shocked me.
It is surprising.
If I want to pull back the Brian on the commercial break sheet just a little bit, I do appreciate where he's coming from. He realizes that maybe there was some like ego value or ego, you know, falsity, whatever, wrapped up in his ability to have sex with women and how attractive he was and all that. I can see that maybe the wall just broke down and he was like, it's just a facade.
Yeah, you know, I've just got
to
do something.
He probably
different.
Said to himself, you know, I'm a human. I'm never going to look like, you know, I'm not always going to look like, yes, you are. You are looking like that at 60. It's not a falsity. You're still super hot.
Yes.
That's it. All right. So Joe Dombrowski, our guest today, also a super attractive young man. Joe Dombrowski.
Absolutely.
Is a former teacher who has parlayed his love of comedy and his many years in the teaching industry into a wildly successful comedy career. He is selling out multiple nights and multiple places.
I thought he was just a fun teacher. Can I just say that? Yeah, I would have loved to have had
him. For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, just watch him. Just go look at Joe Dombrowski, some of his social media stuff. A lot of it is about teaching, and you can just tell. Like, he was the guy that you wanted teaching you.
Yes.
I think he taught young children, we'll ask him, but I think he taught, like, younger children, so they may not have realized just how good they had it.
Right.
quite frankly, if he taught young kids, I think his talents have been wasted on the young kids. He should teach high school kids because maybe they would get it. But Joe is on tour currently, but then he is also going on another tour, starting another tour in fall. He has many dates. He has multiple nights in many places. He's selling out coliseums, and he's like a big deal. And millions of social media followers. We're so happy to have him. Joe Dombrowski is here with the commercial break. I don't know how these people get here.
I don't.
I have no idea how anybody gets here, but we're just grateful to have him here.
Right. We're rolling with it.
Right. So, Chrissy, I've got an idea. I've thought about this. Let's go into our weird, awkward transition phase. And let's say if we take a break, maybe through the magic of telepodcasting, we can have Joe right here with us. And we can talk to him. But first, we need to take that break.
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll be back with Joe.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB. And you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
And Joe's here with us now. Thank you, Joe, for spending some time with us. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
I'm great. Anytime.
Live from Seattle. And what's behind you? Is that from all your teaching days? You've got your kids' stuff up behind you?
First of all, what's behind me is a hodgepodge of my trauma. Yes, I taught for 10 years elementary school, taught everything kindergarten to sixth grade. And this is some artwork that some of the kids made me over the years, the ones that I liked. It's pretty cute. Now, I had a vision for this, and it just didn't execute very well. Because when I was a teacher, the whole wall behind my desk was a collage of student artwork that just went floor to ceiling. It was so great.
So cool.
Like, that'll be the background for my studio. It looks like shit. it looks like shit. So we're in the middle of redoing my studio down here right now while planning a wedding that's in 3 weeks.
Your wedding?
We're in the throngs of... Yeah, I'm getting
congratulations.
Married.
Oh, that's
thank
exciting.
You, thank you.
And thank who
you.
Is the lucky excited. Human you're getting married to? What's
Morgan. It is a man.
I assumed. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Couldn't hear me. Right. And he is fantastic. He's why we're out here. So
out
yeah,
in
we're
Seattle.
Bringing all of our Yeah, he's from North Carolina. I'm from Michigan. So we are bringing all of our family to Seattle to experience all of the crayosity.
Is this a big wedding or is it a small wedding? Or is it a medium-sized wedding
to you?
Well, I did a wedding. I did two weddings, actually, with two different women. I did
oh, you
two
had
different
them.
Weddings.
They were
I had them. Yeah, I had two different weddings. I was involved in two different weddings, personally.
You were married.
And financially.
I did, too. I'm like, oh, he's a vendor.
I'm a planner.
He's got an ice cream truck in his garage. I don't know.
And so the first one was like a destination wedding, 250 people. I considered that rather big. It
Large.
Was a
That's
it was an affair,
one.
Right? And then yeah. the second one was more like 100 people, local wedding. And less of a to-do. Let's put it that way. It wasn't 5 days long. It was, you know, one night, and we had a good time.
We're right in the middle of that. We're at 163 right now.
Oh, yeah, that's not too, that's perfect. You can have your friends.
Three-part
you
wedding, though. There's a lot.
What are you, Indian? So, is he Indian?
It's no.
Yeah, that's for like 3 weeks.
That's a three-week wedding.
So, okay. First of all, we wanted our guests 95% of our invite lists are not from here. So we really wanted them to have a good time when we invited them in. And we want it to be from the time you land, from the time it's over, the weekend's over. We covered it all for you. So day one, which is on Friday, we have a cocktail cruise that we have, you know, chartered out.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, how fun.
In the Sound for cocktails with, I'm sorry, we're actually doing it on Lake Washington, going through for a sunset cruise to have drinks and hang out and see everybody when everyone first gets
nice.
In. The next day is the wedding. And the third day is a traditional Polish after thing called a poprovini, which is
the after thing. Poprovini. This sounds familiar poprovini. From when I grew up in Chicago. What is a poprovini?
I was going to say, yeah, you've probably heard of it being a Chicago guy. It's like the day after a wedding, and it's just like a reminiscing situation where it's a come as you are open house, if you will. And usually another relative will host it at their house for the couple getting married, and for mine it is at my house, and my aunts are hosting it at my house.
Oh, that's lovely.
Else lives here, so yeah. So it's 3 days of drinking.
But yeah. Now you're not trying to get too aggressive on the timing with the third day, right? You're going to give people a chance to wean off their hangover, or just jump right back in.
Yeah, so that was a funny thing too, because Morgan's very much a planner and an executor. That's where he thrives, and he could not understand that I wouldn't let him put an RSVP on the poprovini.
Oh, no.
He's like, well, how are we going to know how much food to get? How are we going to... And I was like, listen, pause. We can't have an RSVP because that's not what it is. If you wake up in the morning and you want to go, you come. If you wake up in the morning and you're too hungover or still drunk, you don't.
You don't come.
Like, and I don't want people to ever think, I RSVP'd, I have to go. I didn't RSVP, I can't go. Mm-hmm. It's not that. So... That I talked him off a ledge.
Good for you, Joe. I think you're playing the voice of reason in this one, because nothing pisses me off more than a destination wedding where I have something planned the morning after the wedding. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the brunch. Everybody comes to the brunch and starts at 9:30. First of all, that's not brunch, it's breakfast. Second of all, who in their right mind thinks I'm gonna be sober enough to go to a brunch at 9:30 in the morning? You just gave me free booze all night long, and now you want me to I'll take the free booze. Yeah. Can we push it back 3 hours? So I can get some sleep. Checkout's not till 11. Make it 11:30.
And it's super laid back too. It's like a come as you are situation. So wear whatever you're wearing. I don't care if you roll up in the same outfit. Like, come eat, have a drink if you want, have coffee if you want, and just hang out before you take off. It's like that.
That's fun.
Now, is there going to be a lot of hooking up? Do you have a lot of single people that are coming? I need to know. We love the drama here at the commercial break. We have a lot of people that have written in with wild wedding stories. Like, I hooked up with.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. One of them.
Sure.
What was the wildest one? The groom, they had an engagement party, and the groom got seduced by the mother of the bride, and she took a picture of him in a compromising position, then showed that to
his
her.
Asshole just up to the sky.
Yes, exactly. He was nude on a bed, drunk, passed out, nude on a bed, and she took pictures of it and then gave it to the fiance to convince her not to marry him.
Right.
So
can I say something?
Go.
That's illegal.
Probably. Yes.
That's against the law.
But you know what is
law,
not illegal?
But I know.
Is making up
what?
A story and texting it to the commercial break. So we don't know if it's true or not.
True. Very true. Yeah. Very true. But I would say that one is true.
Yeah.
I've heard wilder shit.
Oh, me too. Yeah. And we've heard wilder shit via other text messages, but the wedding stories just tend to get out of control. Do you expect a lot of hooking up going on at your wedding? Is this going to be a wild
one? Hooking up, I don't know, because I'm 35, Morgan's 38, and I would say we're older than when most of our friends got married. So most of the people that we're inviting are coming with their husband or wife.
Okay.
We do have large quantities of homosexual men coming, and given the track record, there could be some tummy
stuff. I would say so.
Played.
Yeah.
You never know. But I think the bigger thing that will happen is we're both party guys, and we are inviting our party families and our party friends. So I was at a wedding years and years ago, and I ended up knees deep in the lobby koi pond, carving fish out of the water. Like that. That's the type of shit that could happen.
That's awesome.
We have a very large insurance policy that we've taken out for this wedding, so we got the bases covered.
Okay, so for our audience who might be new to Joe, Joe does a lot of comedy around his years of teaching. So I have a couple of questions about your years of teaching. I'd like to understand just a little bit more. But the first question I have, inquiring minds want to know, Chrissy and I were talking about this off air. What did you do as a teacher when one of your furry students needed to use the litter box? Did you point them in the right direction
oh,
or did you?
Fucking Jesus. I did not take a Xanax for
Chrissy's
the
got
PTSD
plenty. She'll send them over.
Jesus Christ. This fucking animal situation. I
it's
swear
so
to God.
Crazy.
It's so crazy.
It's so ridiculous.
Can I share with you that I have a relative that keeps on perpetuating a story about a woman that she knows that was a teacher, that someone was using the, someone needed the litter box to use it. And I'm like, will you stop repeating that dumb fucking story that no one believes? It's not true. I mean, she's just that kind of person anyway, but you know what kind of person I'm talking about. But I'm like, why are you perpetuating this dumb fucking story? No one in their right mind in the history of any public school has ever put a litter box out for a fucking furry. It's never happened. And I don't know where it came from, but it's got to stop. And it makes
good,
me incensed.
It's a good story. It's a great way to have a triggered mindset about it.
Yeah.
It is true. The litter box thing is clearly not... If any teacher in the right mind said, oh, yeah, you need a litter box, here's one in the corner, then that person deserves to be fired publicly.
Immediately.
It's just not real.
Yeah.
But the whole kids being animals thing is cute and fine to a point, but the last year that I taught, my very last year that I taught kindergarten. It was one of the best years of my career. And there were absolutely kids who came in, and I blame the parents, not the kids, with a tail attached to the belt loop, with the gloves, with the claws on the end.
Really?
And with the ears. And then you'd talk to them and just be like, meow. I need words. It's like, what the fuck are your fucking parents doing? Literally, there is a time for this, and it's called at your own house.
Yes.
It's not right now. And also, I am so fucking sorry. But whatever happened to being like, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Or
this will not end good for you. That's okay to tell your kid.
Yes.
Like, this is not going to be what you think it is, so we need to start assimilating into society. I don't understand it.
There needs to be guardrails, and the parents are in charge of those guardrails. It's not the responsibility. I mean, obviously, as a teacher, you spend a lot of time with those students, so you also have to help with those guardrails as a teacher.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, Darwinism is going to take hold, and so somebody is going to get their ass kicked for meowing at the class presentation. It's just the way that, at least that's how I grew up. It was like, you know, those kind of behaviors got weeded out because you didn't want to be the kid who got his ass kicked in the middle of the hallway.
Exactly.
Have nothing against people dressing up like animals. Nothing against it. But there's a time and a place for it. And it's at a furry
convention.
Yeah, it
can be a hard fight to battle, but you can tell your kid too, like, yo, your shit's in your backpack, that's for recess.
Yeah.
Or that's for latchkey or whatever. But, like, you got to make these boundaries. You can't just have your kid going to fucking graduate school hissing at people.
God,
like,
it's
what
crazy.
The hell?
What, when you taught, were you teaching mainly kindergarten, mainly younger students?
I taught everything kindergarten to sixth grade with the exception of first and second.
Wow.
So I've kind of been a little bit all over the place. Yeah.
God bless you,
the
Joe.
Longest was fourth grade where I spent most of the time. But it was wild. Fifth and sixth grade, not my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's when they really turn into animals, like real live animals. Jaguars.
Yeah, they're just like elephants. Tiny Regina Georges just ready to rip into you and say the one thing that you're so self-conscious about. It's terrible.
They will make fun of you, huh? Did you teach in public or private school?
Both. Predominantly public Title I, if you're familiar with the term.
No.
Title I is a school where over a certain percentage, I don't remember the exact percentage, it might be 50, but over a certain percentage of the school's housing income qualifies them for free and reduced lunch.
Okay.
And because of that, they get additional government funding.
Okay.
It can be used for different activities and technology and things that the school needs to provide for that. So the majority of my years were in Title I schools.
And so what? And so tell us a little bit about the journey. Were you always into comedy? Was like, obviously you're a funny human being. Like, we spent a few minutes with you before you came on here, and you're obviously you're that guy.
Naturally.
You're the funny guy, right? You can make a joke out of anything, and you've got those sensibilities.
The quick wit.
Were you always interested in being a comedian, even while you were teaching?
Yes. So the common misconception is that I had a video blow up online and then I just kind of like turned it into stand up, but it's actually not true. I grew up in a very like stand up family. We were always consuming comedy, consuming stand up. Like we saw Kathy Griffin when I was like super young because she was an up and coming comic performing at Disney World on New Year's.
Oh my God.
How funny is that?
Wait, like at Epcot? Like on the Epcot stage?
I remember that.
Not Kathy,
Bob
but
Cat
I remember.
Was like sitting in front of us. It was crazy. I'll never forget it.
Jeez.
But we were there for New Year's and my parents were like, oh, there's a comedy show happening here. Like, let's go see stand up that we watch. You know what I mean? So we went. And I remember her act outs were insane and they were just so visual. And I remember being like, how the fuck am I laughing at her when she's like doing something but doesn't have any props or set or scenery? And so funny. And I then did stand up for my third grade talent show when I was 8.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And then I always was like trying to be funny, figuring out how to be funny, wanted to be funny. I was very Jim Carrey, Robin Williams at that age. Mm-hmm. So very in your face.
Very spazoid. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then come college, I like really started to get into it and I started trying to figure out comedy as a whole. So I was experimenting with like, improv, sketch and stand up. Just what am I good at? What do I like?
Yeah.
And then I had time when the video went viral. So people didn't know that. I had about 40 minutes that I could stretch in a 45 crowd work. But that was, I was able to use that moment to headline outside of Detroit. Because I had a little bit of a fan base locally. Mm-hmm. Detroit's still my biggest demo. I'm playing the Fox Theater in Detroit coming up next year.
Nice. Yeah.
4,000 seater.
Look at you.
Very cool. Very cool. But yeah, I was able to use that moment for leverage to be like, no, like this video went viral and now I have an audience outside of my hometown, but I have the time. I'm a stand-up.
There you go. Congratulations.
So then I went. But what's so funny is I think about that moment and like think about who that comic was and I watch back my old shit and I'm like, Oh my God.
And it's out there forever.
Who the fuck? Right. Who is this hack?
We do the same thing. Yeah. We do the same thing.
It's so hard to watch. But it got me where I am right now.
Yeah,
so,
well, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think you're
people are liking it.
They love it. You're extraordinarily popular on social media, and you are a really funny human being. And I got to say this, like I think about your story. We've had a couple of other comics that have been on that have had a viral moment that they have parlayed into a larger career, and everyone has a very similar story, which is. And Hannah Brown, I think, was one of the people we were talking Hannah Burner, excuse me, was one of the people we were talking to. And it's like, yeah, that viral moment only took me 26 years to make, right? It only took 26 years of hard work to get that one moment in the sun. It's what you do with it afterwards that really fucking counts. It's like, do I parlay this into sustained success or am I a one-hit wonder? And you're still here long after the viral video went viral. And so congratulations to you, my friend.
Yeah, there's two types of people, and I don't knock anybody because I'm stand-up is my heroine. I'm obsessed with it. I could talk about it forever. It's like my favorite thing in the world, and it's such an honor to be able to do this professionally for people. Like I'm always on stage, and I'm like, holy fuck, that's 1,000 people who rearrange their day to come listen to me.
Yeah, wow.
Tell things that I wrote in my head. Like that, that'll never go way less on me. But there are other people who do have like the viral moment. And then, like, their agents are like, you know what? Live performance. And then they go and they biff it. And they're, like, not into it. And then that kind of makes a bad reputation for stand-up as a whole. But there are other people who have the viral moment who are not familiar with stand-up and then get bit with the bug and want to get better and ask questions and network with other comics and, like, learn what it means to be a host and then a feature, then a headliner and, like... like be really ingrain themselves in the community, which that I can fuck with. Like, I definitely respect that hustle. But there are other people who I'm just kind of like, ah, fuck.
You know what? I think that my observation is, and this is just, I'm speaking more about the podcast industry, because while I am certainly like a comedy addict, I love the art of comedy. I love learning about the history of comedy, the lineage of comedy, how you do it well. And I'm not claiming to be good at it because I have never done any stand-up. It's just behind this silly microphone in my own home in a studio. But what I've noticed is podcasting is very similar in this sense, is that people get a podcast, it starts to do well. They go out and they do live shows. That doesn't do well. And things kind of fall apart because they have zero interest in the hard work that comes afterwards to sustain it or to be, like you said, a student of whatever it is they're doing. Do you think that social media and viral moments like that make the comedy world in general a little bit more noisy, or is it better because now you can find talented people can find their voice quicker
and connect directly with their audience that likes them?
I think that, you know, what's happening right now is still unprecedented, and I'll straight up say I think that if social media was not real and it didn't exist, I don't know that I would have the success that I have right now.
Fair enough.
Because I was able to connect with people in their home whenever they wanted and build off of that. And like, one of the best things about social is there's a lot of comics who knock it and they're like, oh, we're just putting out these 30-second clips now, and that's what our art form has been dwindled to. And it's like, well, why don't you reframe the thinking? You have the opportunity to take 30 seconds of your best shit, put it online and show it to the world, which then generates ticket sales to come see the 45 to an hour of material that you wrote and care about. Like,
fair
how about
enough.
That?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that it really is amazing that we're able to for free put our shit out there, and we don't have to wait to get a Comedy Central half hour anymore, or an HBO half hour, whatever it is. You know, we can just prove to people online, I'm good, spend money on me, come see me and watch me grow.
Yeah. And you have sustained that success through the viral moment. And people say, you talk about what you know, write about what you know is like the old adage about being an author, right? Write about what you know. And so you do a lot of comedy around teaching because that's what you know. That's what you were doing. That's what you love. That's another passion of yours. Did you or did you not? This is a tough line of questioning. I'm going to go all, you know, Inside Edition on you. Did you or did you not one time have a podcast named Mr. D? Something Mr. D?
No.
No, you didn't?
No.
You really didn't? Oh, then I read something that was completely wrong. I thought you had a podcast named something Mr. D. Like, isn't Mr.
Read?
Dombrowski? I read somewhere that you had some podcast that was named something Mr. D, like Learning with Mr. D. So I guess I'm just 100% wrong about this. Not everything you read on the internet is true. There was a television show, a Canadian television show named Mr. D. And I was like, did you take any inspiration from Mr. D, the other guy who talks about teaching in his comedy special? Well, listen, you don't know this show because you probably have never listened to an episode, but I'm wrong about almost everything. Yeah. So this is just par for the course,
exactly.
Joe. It's just par for the course.
Well, there you go. There you go. No, I do have a podcast called Social Studies, which is with one of my very good friends who's a comedian and also a high school teacher. But it's not called Mr. D.
Well, I was going to say brilliant marketing move, but now I'm just wrong about everything. So.
But that was a good try. You did great, sweetie.
Thank you, honey.
I'm doing great.
So you're going on a big tour this fall. Tell us more about your tour. Do you love the travel part of it? Or is this the part where you're like, I think I would feel half and half about the
tour. It's hard to go
from
city to city.
It'd be like, oh, yeah,
that's
exciting to go from city to city, but then
but
I'm just living inside of a hotel room.
But you also get to connect with all of your fans and, you know, meet them and talk to them and be live.
That is one of the best parts, too. And it's also very cool to see all these different corners of the country and world, that places you've never thought you'd go or wanted to go, and then you see the cool uniqueness that and beauty that what blows my mind is just how drastically different the United States is depending on where you are, and in like all forms. Specifically for me, the geography of this country is incredible. Like, I'll go from Tampa and see dolphins, then I'll go to Maine and see a grizzly bear in the same week. Like, that is unbelievable. But this upcoming tour is big. I am playing some bigger venues that I haven't before. I'm playing Town Hall in New York, which is very cool.
Very cool.
Very excited for that one. Yeah, it's a good one. I've played the Wilbur in Boston before, but I'm playing it more times this upcoming trip.
Are you doing multi-nights at the in Boston?
Girl, I've already sold out three nights in a row at Wilbur.
Good for you.
This ain't my first rodeo, baby.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So it's a cool one. And there's cities I haven't done. There's some of my go-to cities that I love. And all over the country, tip to taint.
So, I love
we're doing it. We're doing it. Yeah.
Are you taking Morgan with you?
No, he comes to some of the ones.
Yeah.
Like, we live in Seattle, so he'll come to a lot of the sunny beach places.
Right,
typically, so
the fun cities.
He says, I'm on my way to Tampa, but fuck Maine. I'm on my way to Tampa, but I'm not interested.
Actually. Yeah, it goes to, like, Honolulu, obviously, San Diego. He came with me to Fort Lauderdale, yeah.
I wonder if when you're putting together a tour, you just put in places like Honolulu because you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Honolulu, you know, let's go there. Yeah.
This is so crazy. Like, you want to go to these places and you're so excited to do it. And then your agent will be like, okay, you want to go to Australia? Well, actually, you have to do it in our summer, which sucks because you're missing your summer.
Yeah.
But that's their winter, which sucks because you're not there in their summer.
Yeah.
So he's like, but that's when tickets move there because tickets move when people are indoors.
Indoors.
I'm like, well, fuck.
Yeah, and everything can kill you in Australia. So don't worry about it. Just stay indoors anyway.
I learned.
Have you played Australia?
Yeah, I did an Australian tour a few years ago.
And where did you play? Did you like go all around the country?
Yeah, Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, other places. It was like four cities, and then I did a little travel on my own.
And what did you think about Australia? I'm just curious as to your opinion, your take on Australia. Can everything kill you there? I've never been. I'm just curious.
Yes, including alcoholism. Holy shit.
I've heard. They're big drinkers.
Big drinkers, which is wild. I was like, all right, okay, baby. Yeah.
All right, so you're all our partiers. What do you do after a show? Are you the kind of guy who likes to sit around and have a couple of cocktails after the show? Or do you go back to the hotel and have the cocktails there? That would be my style.
It depends on my mood. Who's there? Do I have friends in the city? Who my feature was? It depends. Like, Amy Miller is a very good friend of mine.
Oh.
And her and I will go out on the road together. I'm always drinking with Amy. We're just friends, you know? And now we're good friends in another city. And we get to, like, do things together. So it's fun. Like, we'll experience it. And then I have another very, very cool up-and-coming comic everyone should keep their eye on. Sam Salem is very funny.
Okay.
Comic out of L.A.
Yeah.
Who I take on the road with me as well. And he's like a comedy savant like I am, too. So we'll just sit and have a beer, like, at the club. And we'll tell the owner, like, come have a beer with us. And we'll just, like, talk to them forever about comedy and who's come here and who's coming here and horror stories and fun shit. So him and I get, like, really into it like that. But then also, like, I've made a second home for myself in Rochester, New York. I've made some amazing friends. Another amazing comic, Todd Youngman, so funny, took me under his wing. And now not under his wing, like, we're peers, but, like, he really showed me the city, and I got to know his family, and I got to know his friends, and now his friends are my friends, so when I go to Rochester, I have, like, a little family that out with there. It's, like, great. So it just depends where you're at and what you're doing.
I've got one friend. It's Chrissy. I wish I had a life where I, like, get jetted off to places, and I had families and families here. Everybody's got that friend. Like, that friend who's like, you know, oh, I was in Spain, and I met this nice couple, and they took me to the house, and I spent a week with their family, and, you know, they find family anywhere they go.
Yeah, but my Spain's Rochester, New York. So let's be real.
It's a lot less expensive to fly to Rochester than it is than it is to Spain. Let me ask you this about being on stage. Tell me, do you still get the jitters before you go on stage?
No, I never have. Mm-hmm. I never have.
Really?
Yeah, no. Since third grade, you've
fuck
been doing
you.
This.
So. Yeah. I don't like Joe anymore. Joe's out. He's from outer space.
Never. It could be like the biggest stakes on the table, too. There could be like the audience could be all industry, and I would just be like, fuck it. Yeah, I don't care. But my body cares, Not so much anymore. It's been a while, but I used to get, I would just have to shit like a second before.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard
that
too.
2 minutes before, and I'd be like, I have to shit, but like I wouldn't mentally feel nervous or anything like that. I'd just be like, I need to shit now, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, that would happen, but like, no, no nerves, no sweating, no jitters, no shaking. I love it.
Joe, what is wrong with you? How do you do that?
The more I don't give a fuck, the better the show
is. Yeah.
I've actually, this is so crazy. I kind of like recently, you know that, you know, in comedy, comics will say like, you got to find your voice.
Yes. Yes, we've heard it 3,000 times on this show.
Yeah. I had a comedic midlife crisis recently.
Why? You're not even midlife.
But listen.
Okay, go.
I actually love that this happened. I am high energy on stage. Very high energy. I'm all over the place. I'm very expressive. I'm very gay Sebastian Maniscalco.
Okay, yeah.
Very physical.
That's a great way to describe your comedy.
Yeah, very physical on stage. But I would say 2 weeks ago, I went out on stage with a glass of Chardonnay and I was just holding it and I was at the mic and I didn't move my feet once. And it felt like I was at a dinner party just holding court with my friends.
Right.
And then I'd hit a sarcastic punchline, roll my eyes and take a drink, which increased the laugh again. And I was like, oh, fuck. I got off stage and I was talking to Todd because I was in Rochester. And I was like, bitch, I just like... is this like who I am now? He's like, it might be. Do it again. And then I did the late show like that.
Yeah.
And it was even better. And I was like, oh, fuck. Is this my thing? Is this happening? Am I evolving into something else? And I was like, you know what? I think I like it.
Yeah. Well, go with
to do
it.
Again this weekend in Pittsburgh.
Go
which
with
is the
it.
The drunkest audience I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about Pittsburgh.
We were just talking about Pittsburgh. Aptly named. Wait, so this just happened. There was no intention.
Yeah.
There was no planning.
No.
God,
no.
The universe.
No.
Mother Gaia, whatever you want to call her. She just planted your feet solidly and said, it's now time
and
to do
this. And a glass of wine.
And a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Okay, now that you say that, it was a little more calculated than I may have let on.
Okay.
So Gary Goldman, you know, the tweets, I don't know if you were familiar with the tweets that he let out during the pandemic. He let out a tweet a day that was like, advice for comedians, and then Vulture picked it up and kind of formatted it, whatever.
Yeah.
Think what you want. It's my Bible. I read it all the time. I'm super grateful that he took the time to do that. And one of the things that he put in there, it was like, challenge yourself and say your closer as your opener and your opener as your closer, just to see how it goes and kind of like maybe dig yourself a hole and try to get out. And I remember thinking about that and I was like, what's the equivalent to my that? Because both my opener and closer are phenomenal. So I was like, right, I was like, you're high energy, stay put, see what happens. So I happened to have the glass of Chardonnay, which, because I'm a cheap bitch like that. And I was like, do it. And I was fucking loving it.
Nice.
And they were loving it. And I was just like, this is some shit.
Wow. And so now have you followed up with this? Is this like, is this your thing now? So now
I did
you
it
just...
four times in a row.
No shit.
I did it four times in a row. I just kept going. So fully planning on doing it again.
Do it again.
Go
with it.
You're going to do it again in Denver the following weekend. I'm just going to see what this comes. Because I really do think I have a clear vision for... Do you want this?
I want it all.
Give it to
I
us.
Want it all.
Yes.
Of course.
I have the clearest vision of what my career is and where it's going to be and what it's going. Okay. I am going to be, and I'm saying going to because it's happening. I'm going to be like the gay dad family comic. I am going to be like a gay Jim Gaffigan. I'm
okay.
Yeah.
Like a
okay.
Dirtier,
I like it.
Gayer, but a Nate Bargatze or like kind of like a Bert Kreischer, like talking about family, talking about like being a dad, talking about this, but like through the gay perspective. And you know why it's going to happen? Because who the fuck's doing it?
No one.
And it's going to be me. And it's going to catch on like wildfire. And when I was sitting there with the Chardonnay, I was like, this is gay dad bitching about his shit and you can relate to this. Even if you're not gay, you relate to family. Right now I'm talking about my wedding planning and, you know, our plans to be dads eventually. And I'm talking about all that. And people are just eating it the fuck up, and I'm just doing it very just like, oh, well, what about my neighbors, huh? And then they're like, yes, our suburban neighbors! Like, you know? So, like, yeah, that is going to be who I'm evolving into, and I'm like, these hoes ain't ready.
You heard it here first.
I love this for you, actually. I get this. I see this vision. It's like an everyman kind of comic with a gay twist, right? And a little bit dirtier. Yeah. And, you know, Gaffigan doesn't do all the, you know, he doesn't work blue, quote unquote. But that's okay. Gaffigan has his
blue. I wouldn't say they work blue. My biggest thing, too, is that I'm me on stage, and I'm not a clean mouth guy. I never have been, and I'm never going to try to be.
Right.
Like, we're going to drop a couple fucks, shits, and bitches, right? It's just how I talk, and I'm not going to go on stage and try to be clean.
Yeah.
But I'm also not, like, grossly dirty talking about, like, the inner workings of a vagina, which I know nothing about. And, you know, I'm not that guy either. So when I say, like, them but dirtier, that's, like, I mean, like, in the language.
Yeah.
Sure. Conversationally.
Like, Nate doesn't swear at all.
Never.
Right, right. But I will. I could tell stories like that, but just like me.
Listen,
I love it.
When you cuss, it's scientifically proven. You're more intelligent. I'm not saying anything about Nate. Nate's got a great thing going, like Nate. I think he's coming on the show at some point. But here's the thing. When you can say fucking shit on ABC at 8 o'clock at night, now, I think it's just like, I don't think it's all that risque anymore to put a couple fucks and shits in there.
Right.
I think the bigger headline here is that I like your vision and you're transforming physically into that. Right before our eyes. He's like, I'm going to plant my feet. It's just like one of the guys out there, you know, having a beer in his hand or a cocktail, Carlin walking around with a stogie or whatever it is.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, as a person who also enjoys the history of comedy, Carlin reinvented himself. And he was one of the best that ever lived. And it just happened because he pushed himself to do things differently and organically. Figure it out. Do something different. Shake it up. I'm bored now. Let's do something different. And he evolved into this, I mean, almost like, you know, almost like a political pundit. He wasn't even doing comedy at the end. He was just being really smart.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was just intellectual. It was like the first TED Talk.
It really was.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. A very blue TED Talk, but a TED Talk nonetheless.
Yes. Yes.
But it was.
Yeah.
Very messagey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the comics that you watch? Who are some of the comics that you take inspiration from?
Oh, God. A lot of women. A lot of women, because personally, I connect with the plight of a female comic, and I don't even use that because people hate that term, but like, I get it. People are like, gay comic, and I'm like, just a comic, but that was cute.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I
could try.
Yeah. I resonate with that on like a very deep level. Like, I'll do podcasts and like the comments will only be about my voice, and it's like, shut up, or like, oh, about what I'm wearing or about my subject matter. It's like, literally their guest the week before me said the same fucking thing, but it was about their wife, and I'm saying it about my husband, and you're like pissed about that.
It's
so bizarre. But but because of that, I connect with early Kathy Griffin, Joan Rivers, Ellen DeGeneres. I could quote her shit cover to cover.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love her.
Wanda Sykes, love.
Oh,
Kathleen
so good.
Madigan, genius.
Yes.
I mean, Rachel Feinstein, holy shit, have you guys watched
love
the
her.
We just had her on last
she
week.
Was on.
She was our guest last
you
week.
Guys, it's so well written and so amazing, and I just want it to be in the top 10 so everybody can.
It is in the top 10.
One of the best.
It is in the
specials
top 10.
I watch.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
It's
I haven't checked
five.
That out yet.
Yeah.
Oh, number five.
Yes.
Good, good, good. Beth Stelling put out what I will go to jail. How much I will talk about this. One of the best specials this year.
Wow.
It was so good. It was unbelievable. The writing, the creativity, the connection. And I just connect to these women, and I love their voice, and I hear my struggle and their struggle and so on. And I love it. I love it. I've always been drawn to it too.
Listen, I think we all do this to ourselves, but I hate in 2024 that we feel the need to categorize and alienate everything that doesn't look like us, talk like us, act like us, speak like us. I think it's childish. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's, I think, thanks social media for doing that. We're all in these little boxes. Gay comedian. Who fucking cares if the guy is gay? It doesn't really matter. He's funny. Who cares what he does on his own time? That's none of my fucking business. And I really dislike, it really drives me crazy when people spend their time, which they don't have a lot of here on this earth, pointing out what is different from them. That's what makes life beautiful, that everybody's different and chooses their own way and does their own thing. Don't wear your furry costume to kindergarten, but besides that, everything's good. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
That's one of the things that I love about comedy, and I correct, you know, normal people, which is what I call a non-comic. I correct normal comics all the time because they'll be like, oh, I watched this comic or I went to the show and they weren't funny. And I'll always say, to you, because if you are a comic and you are able to cultivate an audience that is willing to come see you, you are funny. You are funny to that group of people. You go to a Bert Kreischer show, it's blue collar, beer belly, drinking dudes. That's what it is. You go to a Sebastian Maniscalco show, they are dressed up. They spent over $100 on that ticket and they got their Chanel every top to bottom with the Louboutin heels, those women and their mob husbands. You go to, you know, geez, you go to my show, it's half gays, half suburban moms. That's my shit, and I love it. Yeah. I went to Ellen DeGeneres' show. It was like a fucking softball convention. Like, it's just, this is what it is, and it's because you connect to groups of people because they like about you what connects within them, and that does not mean that that comic is not funny. It just means it's not for you. Mm-hmm. So what drives me fucking nuts is when people take the time to write about it in the comments. It's like, keep going.
Find
something you're into.
Yeah.
But just keep going. Like, to comment, not funny. Not funny to you, you dumb bitch. Like, looking. Ugh. Drives me nuts.
The comments.
Oh, my gosh. Joe, I want to spend another hour with you. I feel like you're really...
Oh, my God. Can I...
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go, I have one thing.
No, talk. We got time.
You guys, I found this comment on, this was a review that somebody left for y'all, and this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
this
good.
Is exactly what I'm talking about. It's a one star. I used to love your podcast until you talked bad about possums. They deserve to be on the earth more than humans. They have existed for more than 70 million years. Do your research before talking negative about the invasive species. Took the fucking time. Someone took the time to write that.
Oh my God.
We laugh about it all the time. We're like, you took the time to write that.
Okay, possum lover 44. Just go back down your possum rabbit hole on YouTube and don't watch this podcast anymore.
Yeah, we're thanks for watching.
Thanks.
Yeah, like it's not for you. Yeah. It's not for you. It's keep watching. Like, but and also fuck you too. I'm calling the ACPCA.
Possums
and
suck.
Sarah McLachlan. You motherfucking animal abusers.
I love that you brought that up. That's
you
hilarious.
You
want to
know what?
Had you read that before?
No, we didn't.
But we love reading those. We love
reading the comments.
All of them.
I love
we're
the
like,
haters, too.
We do.
Yeah, because you know what? The haters are probably listening to more hours of our show than the people who don't like that. The
haters make me
like
famous.
Us.
That's a Honey Boo Boo quote that I want tattooed to my asshole.
That's it. But also, our tagline for many, I mean, we're 550 episodes into this, almost 700 hours of this show. And you know what our tagline for about 100 hours of this was?
It's not for everyone.
It's not
good. And that came from me talking to like a family member at Thanksgiving, and they were like, "We listened to your podcast." And that
and
was
they
it.
Said nothing else. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, well, like,
yeah, just dropped
it's
off.
Not for everyone, but
it's
thanks
not for
listening.
Everyone. Yeah.
I tell that to people all the time. Okay, I know we gotta go. One more thing.
No, you don't have to go. No. We have
time. Moved into this new neighborhood and we're the youngest in this neighborhood by like 30 years, and now we're very good friends with all of our neighbors. They're all in their 60s, and they are our legitimate friends now. And at first, I was like, fuck, Morgan, they're going to find it. They're going to find
they're gonna,
out.
They're going to find out.
Oh, God, it's going to be wild. And then they all found out, and they thought they liked it. And I was like, okay, you're looking at the online version, so if you come to a show, like, it's whatever. Neighbor across the street has seen me 4 times now. She's coming to her 5th show with her boyfriend. They're going to be at my show in Tacoma. Neighbor across the street has seen me 3 times, one including Hawaii. They all 5 of the neighbors around here came to my show at the Moore Theater where I sold out 2,000 seats. They were all there. They
And I love it.
That's incredible. I was like, maybe they'll come and they'll realize it's not for them, and that's that. They genuinely like
love it,
and they bring more friends every time. They love it, and I'm like, see, that's the thing. It's not for everybody, but if it is for you, it's for you.
You're going to love it. Yes.
Yes.
I agree. Listen, there are so – if this is part of what we agreed to do. We put out this content, good, bad, indifferent. There's a lot of it. There's some of it's crap. Some of it's great. I even don't like a lot of it. But at the end of the day, we also understand it's going to come with the territory that there are going to be a lot of people who love the show. They text us every day. They call us whatever. And there are going to be plenty of people who just feel in their loins somewhere that they're miserable, sad sacks of shit, or that possums are their best friend. And the possum queen needs to let us know that possums should be on Earth and we shouldn't. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Go do your thing, Possum Queen. Go
exactly.
do your thing.
Exactly. Live your life. Yeah.
But thank you for pointing that out, because I'm now putting that on the website as the header. Yes. It's going to say, hate this show, they hate possums.
You used to love you until you talked about possums.
Used to love you. Show until we talked about possums.
That's the
Isn't
thing.
That insane?
That's insane. You know you got something going when people are literally hanging on your every word, and they felt so upset by my possum comments, because it probably was me that talked shit about possums.
I don't even remember what we talked about.
I don't even remember we talked about possums either. I have no idea why possums came up in the show.
Yeah.
We do 5 hours a week, so we're bound to talk about possums at some point. Joe is on tour this fall. I'm going to put a link to his website in the show notes so that you can go and check it out. Joe is hilarious. We've spent a number of days now embracing and diving into everything Joe. Joe, you have been an absolute delight, and we will see
you
in Atlanta when you eventually make
when
it here. When you
yes.
come.
Yes.
When the tickets go on sale, we will buy them.
Yes. It's a little sneak for the fans listening. It will be on this tour. I just can't announce the date yet for a very random reason, but stay tuned specifically in December.
Perfect.
Right.
And keep looking at your website, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
thejoedombrowski.com.
And so that you don't have to worry about spelling his last name, I'm going to put the link in the show notes. Yep. We'll have it on the website. You can go check it out as we always do. Joe, you're going to be back because we love you.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that it is. And you just pointed out our favorite new comment, so we have to bring you back. Yeah. We'll see what kind of review we have next time, Joe.
Exactly. Hopefully it's an even worse one than that.
You know what? Come back when you're doing the tour, when you got some downtime one day, you should come back and we'll let everybody know.
We'll hit the Claremont. We'll hit the Claremont. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Joe Dombrowski, we love him. He's a teacher, a gay man, and a comic, and we don't give a shit about any of that. He's a nice guy. So thanks, Joe. We appreciate it. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I know you're already on your phone, so pull up Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break, and then follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Done? Perfect. Thank you. Since you're at the ready, why not text us hello at 212-433-3TCB? Or if you've got some drama in your life, a little fun story, or anything really, we're desperate for content. Call and leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. And don't forget to check out tcbpodcast.com, because that's got it all. Speaking of having it all, let's listen to our fabulous sponsors and get back to the commercial break.
Joe
Dombrowski.
I mean, I'm a huge fan. I was already a huge fan, but after that,
yeah,
he's incredible. I want to hang out with him.
Well, I mean, we spent a collective 38 additional minutes with him before and after the interview. At one point, I just had to go, wait, guys, we're saving all the good talk. Let's go. Let's record. Joe Dombrowski, super funny human being. I think, I mean this really sincerely, I think he's just one of those people who is naturally funny. Like, he lights up a room. You could go there, he would be funny, no matter what circumstance that he was in. And now you can see him live at a city near you. I promise you, he's coming close to you. Let's just hold on 1 second and let me do something real quick, because I was at thejoedombrowski.com just a second ago. Thejoedombrowski.com. And let me tell you that he's on tour currently. So he's going to be in Pittsburgh. He's going to be in Homestead, Pennsylvania. He's going to be in Colorado at the Greenwood Village Comedy Works. And then June in Tacoma, Washington, multiple nights in Tacoma, Washington, multiple nights in Irvine, California, multiple nights in San Jose, Sacramento, Charlotte. I think he's going to be coming here to Atlanta. He alluded to it, but that date hasn't been set yet. Boston multiple nights, as he mentioned. Winnipeg, Atlantic City.
All over.
Oh, he's playing the Borgata. Okay, cool. Toronto, Chicago. He's all over the place, all through the end of the year. Check out his podcast, Social Studies, all his social media. I will link all of that in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about how to spell his name or where to find him on social media, because Dombrowski is not an easy one to spell right off the top of your head. But we're super grateful that we had him.
And cheers to his upcoming nuptials.
Yeah, cheers to him and Morgan. I hope they have a happy life together.
Fantastic.
Congratulations. And I want all the dirty wedding stories. I told them. I want all the dirty wedding stories. You have to come back.
We want details.
I have a feeling we'll see Joe again. I have a feeling we're going to see Joe again.
I hope so.
And I hope, and when he comes to Atlanta, if he comes to Atlanta, we are definitely going to go to that show together for sure.
Yes, for sure.
That's going to be a you and me kind of thing.
That is.
You and me going to the show.
It'll be team building.
Yeah, you know, it's team building exercise. I think we'll probably be big wigs. I imagine, you know, once they know that we're coming, they'll probably give us seats right on the stage. That's just how I imagine it all going down.
Yeah,
box seats or something like that. We'll sit like in the, I don't know, they'll
red
do
carpet.
Something very special for us. Yeah, they'll rope off like a 50 by 50 foot area right in the middle of the club.
bottle service
The commercial break is in the house. Drop the TC beat.
Yes.
Yes, that's indeed. Murder. And I'm really embarrassed that he never had a podcast called Mr. T.
Yeah,
that was kind of
like, didn't you? And he said no.
I felt like I had egg on my face instantaneously because you didn't see it because you're listening to it, but the look that he had on his face, he was like, "What in the good fuck are you talking about, dude? I did my homework. Did you do yours?" Yes, I did.
You need to send him where you found that.
I just found the article. And it's true. There is an article out there that mistakenly said his podcast is called Hanging with Mr. D or something.
Fake news.
Which is actually a television show. So I think they also got it messed up. Never believe what you read on the internet. Never believe what you read on the internet, kids. But thanks to Joe. We really appreciate him coming in. And congratulations on the wedding. 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right around the corner. Yeah. Why is he hanging out with us?
Excited.
Yeah. That's the last thing I would be doing.
I know.
If I was getting married again, I'd take like they call it a donut. I'd have a donut, like a 6 week donut around the commercial break. I'd be like, no, I don't want to embarrass my family and friends. Period. The end. All right.
What do you do again, Brian?
Oh, I'm in advertising sales. That's what I do. That's my go-to answer. Advertising sales.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Compass is a lot of things.
It does. Well, it's true. That's what we do. That's how we make money. Advertising sales. But I'm an idiot, and then people choose whether or not they want to pay me to talk about their product. Still can't believe anybody chooses to pay me to talk about their product, but that is what it is. All right, so here's what you do. You want any of those links that we talked about, Joe's Instagram, Joe's website, Joe's podcast, it's all in the show notes. Just go down there. We hyperlinked it for you, ease of convenience, or you can go to the website, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you get all of our shows, audio and video. We also have all of our guests' links, all of their information, links to tour tickets and all that stuff. It's all there. So if you're listening to an old episode, or if you want to go back and listen to old interviews and episodes, we've got all of those links to their pertinent information. And you can get your free TCB sticker. Go to the website, hit the contact us button. There's a drop down menu that says, I want my free sticker. Give us your physical address, and then we will send it to you. If you want us to sign something for you, please let us know, and we'll be happy to do that also. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3TCB. I'd like to hear from the lady who's decided not to listen to us because of the possums. I would like you to come on and
hilarious.
It's so hilarious. I can't believe he found that. We didn't even know about it.
No.
So if you are that person, text me. I'd like to talk it through with you. Like, I don't understand how I offended you so bad. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. So 212-433-3TCB, questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, you want to be on the show, go ahead, text or voicemail at The Commercial Break on Instagram and youtube.com/The Commercial Break.
All right, Chrissy. I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.